I'm sorry, he told Fleur one blustery April evening as he helped her prepare dinner. I never meant you to have to deal with all of this. She had just set some knives to work, chopping up steaks for Griphook and Bill, who had preferred his meat bloody ever since he had been attacked by Greyback. While the knives sliced away behind her, her somewhat irritable expression softened.
Harry, you saved my sister's life. I do not forget.
This was not, strictly speaking, true, but Harry decided against reminding her that Gabrielle had never been in real danger.
Anyway,
Fleur went on, pointing her wand at a pot of sauce on the stove, which began to bubble at once.
Mr. Ollivander leaves for Muriel's this evening. That will make things easier. The goblin,
she scowled a little at the mention of him,
can move downstairs, and you, Ron and Dean, can take that room.
We don't mind sleeping in the living room, said Harry, who knew that Griphook would think poorly of having to sleep on the sofa. Keeping Griphook happy was essential to their plans.
Don't worry about us.
And when she tried to protest, he went on, we'll be off your hands soon, too, Ron, Hermione and I. We won't need to be here much longer.
But what do you mean?
She said, frowning at him, her wand pointing at the casserole dish now suspended in midair.
Of course you must not leave. You are safe here.
She looked rather like Mrs. Weasley as she said it, and he was glad that the back door opened at that moment. Luna and Dean entered, their hair damp from the rain outside, and their arms full of driftwood.
And tiny little ears, Luna was saying. A bit like a hippo's, Daddy says, only purple and hairy. And if you want to call them, you have to hum. They prefer a waltz, nothing too fast.
Looking uncomfortable, Dean shrugged at Harry as he passed, following Luna into the combined dining and sitting room, where Ron and Hermione were laying the dinner table. Seizing the chance to escape Fleur's questions, Harry grabbed two jugs of pumpkin juice and followed them.
And if you ever come to our house, I'll be able to show you the horn. Daddy wrote to me about it, but I haven't seen it yet, because the Death Eaters took me from the Hogwarts Express, and I never got home for Christmas,
Luna was saying, as she and Dean relayed the fire.
Luna, we told you, Hermione called over to her. That horn exploded. It came from an irrumpant, not a crumple horn snorkack. No, it was definitely a snorkack horn, said Luna serenely. Daddy told me. It will probably have reformed by now. They mend themselves, you know.
Hermione shook her head and continued laying down forks as Bill appeared, leading Mr. Ollivander down the stairs. The wand maker still looked exceptionally frail, and he clung to Bill's arm as the latter supported him, carrying a large suitcase.
I'm going to miss you, Mr. Ollivander, said Luna, approaching the old man. And I, you, my dear,
said Ollivander, patting her on the shoulder.
You were an inexpressible comfort to me in that terrible place. So, au revoir, Mr. Ollivander,
said Fleur, kissing him on both cheeks.
And I wonder whether you could oblige me by delivering a package to Bill's Auntie Muriel. I never returned her tiara. It will be an honor,
said Ollivander with a little bow.
The very least I can do in return for your generous hospitality.